welcome to Advisor Talk with Frank LaRosa. Brought to you by Elite Consulting Partners, it's the only podcast offering unfiltered guidance and direct advice for all things concerning financial advisors, RIAs, and the practitioners in the wealth management business. Learn more and subscribe today at eliteconsultingpartners.com/podcast. And now, here's your host, Frank LaRosa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Advisor Talk with Frank LaRosa. I am your host, Frank LaRosa. And today, I'm joined by a special guest, Chris Shaw from Sanctuary Wealth. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great, Frank. Thank you.
Awesome. Welcome to the show. For those of you that are joining us for the first time, thanks for joining us. You're in for a special treat today. The title of this podcast is called Welcome to the Real World. And so we're going to get into some things about the W-2 space and the 1099 space from someone that just sort of came out of the W-2 world, what I call the sort of like from being institutionalized. And congratulations, welcome to the real world. So, and for those of you that are obviously back to the show, thank you very much. I appreciate everything, appreciate the audience. I get a lot of positive feedback from everybody. So thank you for that. Don't forget to share this with people that you might feel like it's gonna help in some form or fashion. We try to cover things that are just topics of the day, topics of the week, things that I think are relevant to our audience, which is the financial advisor and wealth management community. So today, I asked Chris Shaw to come on. And Chris, I'm going to ask you a little bit of your background. Chris Shaw and I were counterparts for a period of time, not a long time, but for a period of time here in New Jersey. And Chris was a former Morgan Stanley Complex Director. And so he's been... I'll say saved. You've been saved.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Not that, you know, there's a time and place for everybody at a wirehouse potentially or W-2 environment, but Chris is now at Sanctuary Wealth, which is a firm that we work with. If you're looking for a firm that really helps higher net worth financial advisors that want to go independent and become business owners, Sanctuary is one of the firms that we work very closely with. And so, Chris, maybe just give our audience a little bit of your background. You spent about a minute or so at Morgan Stanley, and I guess it's been a long time, but tell us, the audience, a little bit about your background.
Sure. Born and raised in the great state of New Jersey, where we're at today. Went to college here in New Jersey, played football, and thought I wanted to go down the teaching route. I was a teacher for 1 year at the high school level, and then left that and joined Dean Witter as a financial advisor. So started out near Atlantic City, and started out as an FA, just cold calling. That's all I did. I was 24 years old. I didn't know anything else other than just getting on the phone and calling as many people as I could to tell them that we have a great CD or bond or whatever the case may be. Things worked out well. Graduated towards the top of my class the end of the first year, and then was an FA for 4 years. But I missed being part of a team. I missed coaching. Because teaming wasn't a thing back in 1994, 1997, whatever. So I raised my hand and got into management. Went through the management training program, worked in the World Trade Center, training financial advisors throughout the country at Dean Witter, which became Morgan Stanley. Did that for about 2 years and then received my first opportunity to be a manager and picked up the family and moved to Little Rock, Arkansas, which was an unbelievable experience, by the way. I didn't know where it was, to be quite honest. I knew it was down by Texas somewhere. So picked up, moved down there, had a couple offices, 100 and some odd financial advisors, and had a pretty successful run down there for almost 3 years. Was invited back to New York, the New Jersey area, was a regional sales manager for Morgan Stanley, covering New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, helping financial advisors grow their business faster than they would have on their own. And then about 18, 19 years ago, received the opportunity to come down and run the southern half geographically of Morgan Stanley as a complex manager. We had about 400 employees, 250 of which were financial advisors in 7 locations. So inevitably, when you give up your book, you give up control and you go through 6 regional directors and, you know, things change. But it gave me an opportunity to look across the landscape probably about, 7 or 8 months ago And I looked at all the firms. I looked at all the W-2 models. And then I really wanted to explore the 1099 model because I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Because at Morgan, our job was to make people feel comfortable, but that the W-2 model or the wirehouse model was the most comfortable model and everything else was secondary. But I learned different really fast.
Yeah.
So
like
I,
most do.
I looked at several 1099 models, and consistently Sanctuary kept rising to the top because of the people, because of the culture, because of the business model. And it was the perfect place at the perfect time for me. And it's been a great fit. I've been with Sanctuary now for a little over 5 months. So I know enough to be dangerous to go out and tell the story. But at the same time, I have a really strong perspective from the wirehouse being there 29 years in total to now seeing this side of the business and what the capabilities and opportunities are on this side of the fence, if you will.
So let's talk about that for a second, because one of my first questions was, and I think when you came down here a few weeks ago, it was sort of like, so what does it feel like being on this side of the fence, right? Being on the independent side, the real world side. But when you were a manager, if you can take yourself back, right? Put that manager, the W-2 hat on, right?
Yeah.
What was your impression of what 1099 and independence was like? And then fast forward to what is the reality that you're now experiencing?
Being inside the W-2 model, the institution, you really wanted to believe, and I drank the Kool-Aid, you wanted to believe it was the best firm, the best platform, the best culture, and everything else was secondary, whether that was another wire, or more importantly, whether that was the independent space. Not knowing what the space really provided, you know, I wanted to believe and I wanted to communicate to the FAs that I worked with that maybe it's for lower producing FAs. The technology isn't as good. The branding won't be as strong because clients are going to be concerned that they're not with a big firm, or the products aren't readily available that you have here. You don't have the amount of resources. Whatever the case may be,
it
was
all
a
that
distant
stuff.
Second to being in the model that we were currently in. But I was wrong. I was not only pleasantly surprised, I was overwhelmingly surprised about what not only the independent space offers, but what Sanctuary offers specifically. And it's been an unbelievable experience being on this side of the fence.
So let's talk about that for a second. You know, one of the biggest things, especially with the types of advisors that Sanctuary attracts, right? And we're going to get into some other solutions that you're going to be coming out with in the future. But a lot of times, the types of advisors that we see going to Sanctuary are the higher net worth clients, higher net worth advisors, several million dollars or more, right?
Correct.
In production with larger clients. And I think when I talk to a wirehouse advisor that has a sophisticated client base, one of the first things they say is, yeah, my clients need, you know, more of a sophisticated product platform. What did you find when you went to Sanctuary that resonated with you, that is maybe the reason why Sanctuary is attracting such high net worth clients when it comes specifically to products and lending capabilities?
We can talk about products, but also I want to talk about culture, because that's an overstated term that people really don't appreciate it until you don't have it.
Yeah.
But let's start with products. So what I was exposed to really early on is that we have a capital markets desk. We have a robust offering in alternative investments. We have access to family office resources, which I would have never guessed. We have access to lending, whether you want to do securities-based lending or lending on other things like art or boats or whatever. Not only do we have one bank we can go to, we go to several, lending. So when people compete, you win, that old adage, right? So we can get you the best pricing. We can get you and your client the best products. So whether you're looking for a structured investment, we deal with all the banks. Whether you're looking for an alternative, we have an incredibly robust offering. If you're looking for products or services that you think you cannot find outside a major wirehouse, you're wrong. We have access to just about everything any client could ever want.
Yeah, but your technology is probably not as good, right?
That's wrong, right?
Because that was a trick question.
I know. But what I found is that, you know, when you're inside a firm, and specifically for me, it was Morgan Stanley, they had a box, but and the box was great.
And by the way, I just want to make a point here. We're not trashing Morgan Stanley here. This is not the...
I'm just comparing my experience.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm just comparing my experience.
There's a time and place for every single advisor, and for a lot of advisors, the W-2 space is the right space.
It was fantastic.
Right, exactly.
It was fantastic, and they have a lot of great things. I'm not disparaging it.
This is factual.
But what I learned is in the independent space, they have the opportunity to bring on the best technology when it's available. Whether it's financial planning software, whether it's aggregation software, we have access to technology that we can advise and bill on clients' 401ks. That currently isn't available at most institutions that I'm aware of.
So what do you mean by that?
So there's a company called Pantera. Pantera specifically has developed technology for financial advisors to not only get access to a client's 401k while they're still at their employer, but also manage their 401k and ultimately bill on that advice. We encourage our FAs to think like a family office, to manage the entire relationship. So whether it's a 401k, whether it's other assets held at other institutions, we empower our FAs to not only advise on it, but bill on it. And we have technology that helps us do that. So those things I wasn't aware of that existed in the industry. But now, like I said, outside looking in, there is an unbelievable amount of offerings from a technology standpoint that can help FAs not only become more efficient, but market themselves, work with clients in a more holistic manner than I ever thought possible.
So on the lending side, you talk about that, but you also, one of the things you mentioned, and again, this is more of a smaller market, but it's a big market. What about on the international side? We touched base with that last time, and I was surprised to hear, because even I didn't really know, that you are starting to become a little bit of a player in that marketplace.
We are. So Sanctuary started something several years ago. A business entity called Sanctuary Global. Sanctuary Global is dedicated to supporting assisting and hiring internationally focused FAs to be independent. Because we've seen over the years, firms will get into the independent business, and then for whatever reason, it could be legal, it could be compliance, could be other, they tend to shy away from it. Or they move away from it in a way that is detrimental to the FAs. And we've seen a list of firms over the years modify their international business, where international FAs would either need to go to another firm, they get bought out by a firm, or they need to modify their business in such a way that like I said, it's detrimental to their business or their clients or whatever the case may be. So Sanctuary saw an opportunity to create a first-class platform for internationally focused FAs and international clients where they own their own business, which is somewhat unique in the international offerings out there. And we're more of a boutique. We're very selective on who we partner with and who we can help regarding, you know, the countries and the types of business, but we currently have several international teams that affiliate with Sanctuary Global. And being part of the East Coast, so I oversee the East Coast, so I support all of our partner firms on the East Coast, in addition to helping, you know, FAs, you know, potentially partner with Sanctuary on the East Coast. And that includes international business, which several of them sit in our Miami location.
Okay. Got it. So when you let's go backwards to your first few months at Sanctuary, you're probably going around talking to some of the practices and the partners, right? So they're no longer like advisors that work for you, right? Yeah. You made a comment about that, about when an advisor makes a move and it's posted like, oh, he reports to such and such, right? But when you're now talking to your partner offices, what did you find from their perspective? You walk into their office, how you doing? You introduce them, you're new to the firm, but they've been there for a while now, right? What kind of feedback did you get from them in terms of their experience, having now been there for a period of time, where they were like, wow, Chris, this was, you know, this is what I thought, this is what it really is, or this is how my business has grown. Like, what are those positive responses that you got from them that not took you by surprise, but, you know, give us insight into the initial conversations you were having when you got to know your partner offices.
You know, it's funny, inevitably, whether it's the first sentence or somewhere in the first 5 minutes, partner firms typically say, I wish I did this 10 years ago, right. every single time. And I'll say, why? Because of the freedom and the flexibility, and they didn't know what they didn't know about the capabilities. But when you go out and you're an entrepreneurial FA, and you want more control about your staffing, about your branding, about your ability to market, and access to the latest technology or products, it's empowering. So the FAs that look for that, embrace it, and ultimately find it, it's euphoric in many ways. That I didn't know it was going to be this good, or I would have done it years ago. And then once I kind of peel back the onion a little bit, I'm like, all right, well, tell me exactly why this is better than expected here at Sanctuary. And they've said it, and I've seen it. I've never seen a firm work so hard to get the yes. Every time a partner firm is looking for new technology, a new product, a new vendor, trying to figure out a way to develop their business in a line that maybe they didn't think of before, Sanctuary says, let me figure that out. A lot of firms will say no.
Right.
Nope.
And what was the question?
Yeah. So every time a partner firm raises their hand and says, I want to look into, I want to consider, I want us to think about, the answer is, let me figure it out for you. I've never seen a firm, our partner firms will often say, I've never seen a firm work so hard to get the yes. So that's why culture matters in such an incredible way. So, you know, you have a firm that's backing you. And oh, by the way, this is interesting. And I think you touched on it a second ago. None of our partner firms work for Sanctuary. We support them. So every single day we have to earn the right for them to want to work with us. They are truly our clients. I always thought that. I always told FAs that in my prior firm, that, oh, you're our client. But at the end of the day, you're still an employee of the firm.
Right, exactly.
Right? Where this model is completely flipped, you know, 180 degrees, that they are the client. We earn the right to support them and partner with them every single day. And I think it's an unbelievable business model.
So, we have this saying, you know, in our industry, it's not about the money, but it's about the money. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if you had conversations with them, because I know that when I was a director, you're a director, and you hear these stories about, oh, you're going to make so much more money when you're independent. When you're in the W-2 bubble, you're like, nah, no, you're not. It's basically the same thing. What was your personal impression, and did you get some positive feedback from those partner offices about the impact on their income? Because this is, listen, you're going to go through this as a business owner, right? And you're going to make a move and you're going to go independent. Part of the reason why you're doing it, yes, flexibility and all that other stuff. But you're also doing this for the positive economic impact. So what was your impression, and what are you actually seeing with those partner offices, the impact on their economics, i.e. their payouts going up?
Yeah. So obviously, there's a difference from a taxation standpoint, a 1099 versus W-2, right? But we won't talk about the taxes per se. So our payouts are higher, obviously, because our overhead is much lower than a W-2 model, like a, you know, whatever wirehouse firm. But in addition to just the cost structure, the FAs on average can make anywhere from 20, in some cases, 30% more on a cash flow basis. But that's only part of the story.
Right.
Like I mentioned earlier, we have the ability to advise and bill on outside assets. That opens up a whole nother world, right? All the FAs that have clients, all their assets aren't custodied with them. We know that statistically. So if a client wants your advice and wants to work with you, but hold assets at other locations or even in their 401k, that's a new opportunity for FAs, right, to truly manage those clients' lives and relationships, which opens up a whole new opportunity for revenue for them. So yes, you have the 1099. Now you have technology and a platform to work with you to open up revenue streams that were never available to you before. And then here's the last piece of the puzzle. If you look at it from a three perspective, you know, if you move from wirehouse to wirehouse, you know, they offer transition deals, and ours, you know, you don't go independent for a transition deal, right, in my opinion, right? But the true value is really in the equity that you build for yourself. I've learned, surprisingly so, that it's probably double of what a typical wirehouse deal would look like, what the true value of your business is,
sure,
which was eye-opening to me.
Yeah.
So you're building a business that has tremendous amount of equity, that has tremendous amount of sustainability, that gives you opportunities to work with your clients that you've never had before. And in a 1099 model, which has its tax opportunities as well over a W-2. So there's a tremendous amount of financial growth when you own your own business.
Yeah, what I have found is that as a financial advisor, you're working with high net worth clients, and most of those high net worth clients are business owners. Most of the time. I'm not saying that they're all gonna be business owners, but most of them are business owners, and they've built enterprise value in their business. And I think that's when you go independent from a W-2 shop to an independent shop, whether it's Sanctuary or any other independent shop, yeah, that's when you start building enterprise value that Chris is talking about, right? That you're talking about, because, you know, yeah, you can sell your practice, whether it's Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, UBS, they all have these retirement programs, and you get a fixed fee, fixed valuation, you know, two and a half times, whatever. And on that 2.5 times, you're being taxed at ordinary income. So you're getting cut in half right out of the gate versus being independent. You're building enterprise value. So there's a higher competition for your practice, which increases the value of your business. But you're probably going to get a valuation that's at least double 2.5 times or more, right? It depends depends on the size of your practice. But then when you do sell, you're selling at a long-term capital gain. So there's significant tax savings. So it really becomes down to how much money are you actually putting in your pocket and putting into your estate as you're building wealth. And it's undeniable that the independent space just destroys the W-2 space, right? Not Correct. Wires, just the W-2 space in
Correct.
General.
Correct.
Right? So what I've seen over and over again when I run models for advisors that are thinking about W-2 versus 1099, again, it doesn't matter what firm, I routinely see 20 to 30 basis points, maybe 30s, you know, for a larger producer, if you're already at a, you know, 45 or 50% payout, right? After you pay for your expenses and you pay your admin fees or advisory fees, whatever they are, the different firms, we're not gonna get into that today, and you pay your admin and your pay for your office and all those things, you know, you're typically coming in that 60 to 65% net payout.
Correct.
Before the tax advantage.
Correct.
And the things that you get to do, I'm not gonna say play because it's not play when you're dealing with the IRS, but the things that you can do structurally when you have a good accounting and support team, and I'm sure, you know, with your partner firms, you sort of help with that in terms of setting up your business the right way so it's as tax efficient as possible. Not enough people talk about that candidly, and I'm surprised that a lot of sophisticated W-2 advisors don't really even understand that. I'm curious, I mean, you were very successful in your own right when you were at Morgan, but what was your impression of that? And we're not gonna get into an IRS tax conversation, right?
Yeah.
But what was your impression of that piece of it and the impact on the net income of a practice coming from the W-2 to a 1099 model?
Well, what's the saying? It's not what you make, it's what you take, to a degree. So what really falls to the bottom line? It's significant because you can hire employees. You can expand your business in a way that is tax efficient that you weren't able to do potentially a W-2 model. We have partner firms now bringing on tax advice, hiring accountants as part of their firm, which not only, you could talk about the 1099, but now you're talking about really expanding, what you can do from an advisory perspective. So the 1099 is significant for a lot of reasons, but at the end of the day, it's empowering, right? Do you want to work from someone or do you want someone to work for you? And all the benefits that come with owning your practice, owning your culture, taking control of your future, all of that matters, especially in a 1099 model.
So thank you. So one area that I think stands out, Sanctuary stands out in particular, and I think it has to do, there's a lot of things that size and scale have a positive effect on, right? And at Sanctuary, you don't take on smaller producers, right? You have a higher minimum production, right?
Correct.
And there's some ripple effects there. So one is compliance, and we touch on that. But the other, when it comes to sort of business development, is the marketing side. And I've seen, I've seen Sanctuary, but actually I've seen partners at Sanctuary doing some interesting things, which tells me that, well, Sanctuary is allowing them to do that. Right, so talk about the compliance side and why your model of higher end producers, higher minimum size, sort of like when we tell advisors, like, you want to work with your higher clients.
Yeah.
How has that had a positive impact on advisors? And then also tell us a little bit more about the marketing side at Sanctuary.
Let's take a step back and let's talk about why Sanctuary was created. And I think it'll work in perfectly to your question. So Sanctuary was created about 5.5 years ago because there was a perceived gap between a wirehouse model and a complete independent model. We sit in the middle, a supported independent model. And what's that mean? We provide HR, we provide legal, we provide marketing, we provide compliance, we provide products and technology. We do all the things for you that you don't want to do. And then we do a lot of things for you that you want us to do, so that you can be at the point of sale, working with your clients, growing your practice, right? That's number one. But number two, it was intentional only to work with elite FAs. And what do I mean by that? Typically is $1.5 million is our minimum. No compliance problems, nothing on their U4, U5, whatever. Typical partner firms have a CFP, a CFA. They have some type of industry designation. Why that was by design is because we found, or the firm found at the time, and we still believe it today, it's one of our core beliefs, is that we don't want to treat people like the lowest common denominator. If you work for a big firm, right, and they have to, but big firms tend to manage to the lowest common denominator because they have to protect the back door. They have to protect the clients. They have to protect the franchise, which all makes sense, and 100%. But we intentionally hire higher producing FAs that have an extensive amount of experience that we don't have to manage to the lowest common denominator. So we provide assistance, we provide support, we provide a platform for them to market in a way that they want to market to their clients. Access to various other, tools and resources that we can treat them like quote unquote adults. So what do I mean? From a marketing perspective, we have partner firms that are on CNBC, that are on Bloomberg TV, that market through traditional matters, video, and they leverage YouTube. You can use TikTok if that's something that you'd like to do. X, formerly known as Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and they can create their own content. And we can turn it around really fast, whether you're going to be on CNBC in 3 hours and we can submit the questions. If you want to do a radio talk show, right? We submit the questions, we turn it around. You want to write a podcast. All of these things are available, and the compliance department is your partner in getting that area, getting that culture to say yes, getting back to what I was saying earlier. So we empower you. We partner with you to get your brand, to get your message out there the way you want to. not the way we're going to tell you to, because we're not managing to the lowest common denominator.
Yeah, I think that you, you know, from a leadership perspective, you know, you have an advisor asking you a question to do something. They're already running a significant business, and they, you know, they don't have any interest in blowing up their practice, right? And so you already know that they're coming to you with a well thought out question. Culturally, they've already been vetted. And I think that's one of the mistakes, candidly, as I speak to advisors, I try to explain to them that when you're interviewing with a firm like a Sanctuary, yes, you might have $2 or $3 million of revenue and you have, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in assets, but a firm like Sanctuary is interviewing you also. And I think sometimes advisors lose sight of that, that they think, well, I'm a $4 million producer and so, you know, everybody should kiss my ass. That doesn't really work that way sometimes.
No.
Especially with a firm like Sanctuary that's trying to build this culture of sort of, we're all adults. We all want to roll in the same direction. We don't want to have to manage to the lowest common denominator. So we have to be mindful about who we bring over and do they fit our core values so that we can be fluid and not have to worry, like, what's this guy trying to do?
Correct.
So it's interesting. I find that I've seen that over and over again. Almost every single advisor that I've seen join Sanctuary, like, oh, that was a good one. You know, like that was good people. Yeah. What I mean by that is not revenue wise. Oh, that was a good quality team right there.
We actually, unbeknownst to me at the time of joining Sanctuary, we actually have a no a-hole rule, and I'll leave it at that. And what that means is that once we're, you know, going through the process of getting to know a team and a potential partner firm, if anybody inside Sanctuary feels that culturally this isn't a good fit, we walk away. So, you know, we've all worked with difficult people before, and we truly believe our Sanctuary community, our culture, our partner firms deserve to work alongside the best people. And if you're a difficult person, a difficult team that could tarnish the brand or put a chink in our armor as it relates to the culture and the community that we've built, Sanctuary is probably not the right place.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Something just dawned on me when you were talking about that. Another reason why I tend to, maybe Sanctuary resonates with a lot of the, I'll just say wirehouse larger producers, is because everybody that's running the organization, you included now, have all been there, right? Yeah. You were all on the other side.
Yeah.
And so you understand the language, terminology, like you get the I'll just say wirehouse advisor that's going there versus some independent firms. And there's a lot of great independent firms out there, but some independent firms are trying to attract large wirehouse advisors and they were actually never on the other side. So they don't really know what's going on in the minds of that advisor practice.
And I'll take it one step further and say that they may not have ever been a financial advisor.
Well, that's even, yeah. Which is crazy.
To have sat in the seat,
right,
or carry the bag or whatever, you know, term you want to use. We've, you know, Vince Fertitta, president, was an FA, you know, worked at a wire. Myself, Phil Paporta, who runs the central region. We're all FAs, we're all managers on the wire. But also what's unique about Sanctuary, in my opinion, we have both sides of the ledger on our senior leadership team. We have our CEO, one of our co-presidents, came from the independent space. So we know both sides of the business extremely well. So we understand you as an FA because we were FAs. We worked in the W-2 model. And on the independent space, they can bring the best of that world to what is now Sanctuary.
All right, so let's talk about one last thing in the interest of time, because we talked a little bit about this before the show, and that is this idea, and as advisors are listening to this, I'm sure there are a lot of advisors that maybe aren't $2 million in production, right?
Yeah.
But they're like, damn, I like that story. I want to affiliate, but they're, you know, they're doing maybe $1 million, or they're maybe doing 800,000, and they're not necessarily, you know, revenue-wise, a fit, right? You were talking about a solution that you're coming out with or you're working on that allows advisors to sort of, and we're going to use the term tuck in, but tuck into a partner office. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we currently have about 85, 86 partner firms nationally. And what we're finding is that there are a lot of great financial advisors that, to Frank's point, doing, let's say, in the low end, 600 and maybe up to $1.2 million or $1.4 million, that would thrive in our business model, but just aren't ready to make that commitment, make that leap going independent because, you know, they want to be surrounded with other people on a team or whatever. So Sanctuary is working on a program not only to help our current partner firms onboard successful sole practitioners, but also to make it as turnkey and as easy as possible for the sole practitioner that's sitting on a W-2 model platform to say, you know what, I want to realize not only, yeah, a higher payout, but the freedom, the flexibility, and the control that independence gives you. But now I get to affiliate with one of the partner firms. They have everything set up. They have the infrastructure. They have, you know, local compliance. They have the marketing, the branding. So it's as turnkey as possible where you can leave a wire, go affiliate with one of our partner firms. Everything will be set up for you to make it as easy as possible for you to focus on your clients and continue to grow in ways that you've never thought was possible.
That's interesting. That's for a firm like mine, where we come across advisors like that all the time, maybe more so now than ever before, as advisors on the W-2 side are really starting to wake up about the independent side, it's really a great option to have. So
yeah, we're excited about it.
Yeah, anyway, so I can tell it's great to talk to someone that has this positive experience and the, you know, now really be able to, it's not that we couldn't, when we were in the manager side in W-2, that you couldn't help an advisor grow, because you could, right? There was lots of things. But,
sure.
But I can see it in you. And when you talk about this stuff, like almost like getting a new toy in a way, like you're so excited because you can now have a deeper impact on the partners and the advisors that you work with and their families. I can really see that excitement in you, which is tremendous.
Thanks.
This is the last question. When an advisor is thinking about their new home, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they think of or when they hear Sanctuary, what are the, you know, two or three things that they should think more than anything about a firm like Sanctuary?
It's a community. It's an environment for elite FAs that want to take control of their business and of their future. You are our client. We work every day to support, facilitate, to empower entrepreneurial FAs to grow in a way that they never thought was possible. So if you're entrepreneurial and you're a little frustrated with the constraints, whatever they may be, whether it's compliance or whether it's marketing or whether it's you know, you have to share one support professional with five other financial advisors, whatever those constraints may be. If you're looking for a place to unlock the opportunity, the potential that you know is available to you, and you want to partner with a firm that has an unbelievable culture, all the resources you or your clients could ever want, and a community of financial advisors in our partner firms that really want to see each other succeed and grow, there's no better place.
Awesome. So you got that. So if you're one of those advisors and that resonates with you, definitely check them out. You can obviously, if an advisor wants to reach out to you and connect with you, what's the best number to reach you at?
So my email is cshaw, not sophisticated, cshaw@sanctuarywealth.com. Or go to our website. You can direct message us, email us. That's the easiest way. Or my cell phone's 917-699-0836. If you want to shoot me a text or email, but obviously they can go through
yep.
you
yep.
And connect with us. We have a lot of great things going
yeah.
on. We really
it's going right there. So if you want to connect with me, you can call me at 856-316-4651. As always, you can email me at frank@eliteconsultingpartners.com. Don't forget to check out my Instagram page, which just crossed 150,000 followers, which is awesome. That's at franklarosa.elite. You can also check us out on LinkedIn. We have a lot of great stuff. But if you want to have a conversation with Chris or any of the guys over at Sanctuary, please feel free to reach out to us. It's a great opportunity. What I would tell every advisor that is thinking about making a move, you got to do your homework and you got to do your due diligence. which means if you're going to, if you are a larger practice and you're talking to a few firms and Sanctuary is not in the mix, you owe it to yourself and to your clients to be talking with Sanctuary, because you would be surprised. You made this comment. You don't know. You didn't know what you don't. You didn't know.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct.
And that's a huge thing I see with advisors. You don't know what you don't know until you start exploring. And you only want to make a move one time, hopefully, in your career when you go do this, especially if you're going independent, right? So do the research. Give us, you know, give me a call. Give Chris a call. Check him out. And if you have any questions, we appreciate it. If you know someone that's thinking about making a move and you think for them, Sanctuary might be a good opportunity, forward this podcast to them and see if we can help them. So thanks very much, and we appreciate you joining.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to Advisor Talk with Frank LaRosa. If you're looking for more advice or solutions on any topics in the financial services industry, or you just want to subscribe to our podcast, head on over to eliteconsultingpartners.com/podcasts.